in the shade you call now. Today I'll stay. So I took him in, he forgave all my sin. When he called my name, sing it with me. He called my name, I heard his voice. He called my name, I made my choice. I knew my life would never be. His grace. Thank you.
Bibles, want to turn with us over in the book of James to what I feel that the Lord has laid on our heart for this service tonight. The book of James in the second chapter. Hallelujah. James in the second chapter, verse number 1. He said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. That's before the homosexual stole that word there. That's happy clothing. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? And are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Verse 9. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this evening for who you are, and we thank you, Father, for allowing us the privilege to be able to be here this evening, here with you most of all, and with our brothers and sisters. And Father, we ask God that you would speak to our hearts in this building as you're speaking to those in the other building. And Father, let all the glory for our lives go unto you, because you are the glory of our lives. And Father, we just love you today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Verse 9, he says, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If those taking notes, he says in Leviticus in the 19th chapter, verse 15, he talks about that not to have a respect to persons. And as part of the law of God, that we, you know, treat everyone the same, and we look at everyone has a soul. Amen. There's no big me's and little you's in the kingdom of God. The foot of the cross is as level. Amen. And God loves everyone equally. Amen. And we are to do the same. Amen. It says that we're not to have respect to person. Respect means partiality or favoritism one over another. Amen. That we're to love everyone the same. And if we love everyone the same, then we can save the world. Amen. But if we don't love everyone the same, that's probably reason why sometimes we don't witness, is because we really don't love people. If we really love them like we love our own kin, we'll witness to them and we'll want them saved. Amen. Come on now.
If we really love people the way that Jesus loved us and loves people, that we will be mindful to try to get them right with God. Amen. They have a soul. It says over in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter, here in James, he's telling us and he's given us a commandment that we're not to, have partiality with one person to another or favoritism over one or another. That we're to love everyone the same because everyone in God's eyes is the same. Amen. Doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter of what nationality you are. It does not matter, if you're educated or non-educated. It doesn't matter. It just matters that you have a soul. Amen. That's what matters. He says, that's why Peter, in Acts in the 10th chapter, when he has been called by God, he was on the housetop and he's seen all these animals that in this vision upon this sheet. And it was some animals they was allowed to eat, but there was some that he was not allowed to eat under the law. And God was showing him and he said, rise and eat. And he said, no, Lord, some of those things I can't eat. They're unclean. And he said, what I've cleansed, call not common or unclean. He's trying to show Peter that God is no respecter of person. And the Jew was big on looking at Gentiles as dogs. And Peter was guilty of it as well. And God wanted to send Peter over to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile. And before he could send him there, he had to get in Peter's mind that God is no respecter of person. That he loves the Gentile just as much as the Jew, and the Jew as much as the Gentile. And he loves you as much as he loves me. And he loves the children as much as he loves the old person, and an old person as much. He loves the white man as much as the black and white and the red and green and everything else. Amen? Because God is the creator of all and God is the maker of all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're all one in Christ. So Peter gets over there and he begins to talk to these Gentile people who at one time he thought was dogs. And he begins to talk to them and realizes that God loves them. And he just stands up and he makes a statement in verse 34. He said, I perceive of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Peter is saying here, I perceive, this is a truth, this is a truth statement. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Respecter means an acceptor of a face. In other words, God doesn't just, accept a certain face or a certain color. But God loves everyone. Amen. He looks beyond the outside to the inside of us. Amen. Cut us all and we all bleed red. Amen. We share one another's blood when we need blood. Amen. Peter comprehended something and he accepted this truth that God is no respecter of person. That's why God could tell Joshua this in Joshua the first chapter. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Why? Because he's no respecter of person. He couldn't be with Moses and as Moses led Israel and be great in Moses and not be great in Joshua. If Joshua did the same thing as Moses did though, but Joshua had to do the same as Moses. He had to be a great leader like Moses. See, it works two ways. God is no respecter of person, but then if he tries to bless us when we're not doing our part, then look and he's respecting us over someone else. No, he expects the same out of all of us, does he not? So he's telling Joshua, as long as you walk like Moses walked and be a great leader and follow me, I'll bless you. I'll be with you like I was with Moses. Amen. Galatians 2 and 6, it says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, Paul says, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. Amen. In other words, God doesn't just look and say, like some people say, well, I'm just God's favorite. No, you're not. We're all God's favorites. Amen. God don't accept any man's single person. Amen. Amen. He accepts our work and our faithfulness, but he don't, accept us over someone else that is doing the same thing we are. God loves us all. Amen. God so loved the world that he what gave his only begotten son. Amen. The world. That's everyone in it. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful to us. You see, he don't accept any man's person. What he's looking for is the blood of Jesus. That's what makes the difference. Amen. That's what he's looking for is the blood of Jesus. Colossians in the 3rd chapter, verse 9, he said, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, that means a stranger or someone from a foreigner, or a Scythian, that means a savage, bond or free. It doesn't matter if you're a foreigner or for a savage, if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, if you're a Jew, if you're a Greek, it doesn't matter. But Christ is all in all. Amen. It don't matter if you're big or little, if you're educated or not, if you're rich or poor. It does not matter. We all come through the cross and we all must have the blood of Jesus in our life. That's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way, no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. And we all, whether we have money or poor, we all need God. Whether we have a college degree or we're ignorant, we all need God through Jesus Christ. Amen. We're all at the mercy of God. Hallelujah. It says there in James in the 5th chapter about the great man of Elijah. He said of Elijah was a man of like passion as me and you. In other words, you cut him, he bleeds. You pinch him and he holler. Amen? That's Georgia for pinch. Pinch. Come on. You slap him and he'll cry. Amen? He eats potatoes. Amen? He drinks water. He goes to the bathroom. I mean, he's just like me and you. He needed God. We needed God. Hallelujah. Ain't God good to us? Genesis 4:7, it says, if thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. You see, that's what God is looking for, as to that thing he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. When you do well, you'll be accepted. But when you don't do well, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Amen. When we do well, God is pleased with us. It's not that, you know, sometimes people say, well, I think God loves Brother David Williams more than he loves me. No, maybe you need to look at his life. Maybe he's doing a little more for God than you are. Come on. You ever seen people that way? I've seen people in church get jealous of one another. But it's not that God is favoring. No. Amen. 1 Peter 1:17, it says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. He says that call on the Father, who without respect of persons, amen. He judges us according to our works. He's not respected who we are, but our work, amen. He can have respect of our work if we please him, amen. He says, listen, he says, ye being evil know how to give your children good gifts. Amen? Much more does your heavenly Father know how to give them. Well, if you know how to not be a respecter person, much more is God not a respecter person. I mean, if God tells us not to be a respecter person, come on. Do you think he would be? If he tells us in James and other places not to be a respecter person, not show partiality to one another, come on, not to love one more than another. Then why? How could God do that? He couldn't do that. He said, you being evil know how to not do, be partial to one another. He said, me being who I am, I'll not be that way. Amen. I'll be fair and just in all things is what God is saying. Colossians in the 3rd chapter, verse 25, he says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons, period. Amen. Ephesians 6:9, it says, and ye masters, do the same things. Talking about our boss men, or those, if you may be a boss man or have people working under you. He said, do the same thing, forbearing, threatening. He said, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. What are you saying, brother? They've ought to pay all my people that works for me the same thing, if they're doing the same pay, and if they've been there the same length of time. But now if there's some variations there, if they're not doing the same amount of work, and if there hadn't been the dedication there for a number of years, sometimes you get raises for being there more years. So, you have to be the same, right? Amen. If he's not doing a good job, then get rid of him, But he's working for you. Don't be a respecter of persons. Amen. Romans 2 and 6, he says, we're talking about tonight, God has no respect of persons. God loves everybody. How many believe God loves everybody? How many believes that God loves everybody just as much as he loves you? See, that's where sometimes we get in trouble. We think that we're better than them. No. The only thing that makes us any better is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's available to all. Amen. The blood of Jesus. It says, Romans 2 and 6, he said, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To him who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, what's the reward going to be? Eternal life. If you're the person who is always continuing and doing well and you're seeking for glory and honor and immortality, you're going to get eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what's going to happen? You have indignation and wrath in your life. Verse 90 says, tribulation and anguish is the reward upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, because there's no respect of person. If you do wrong, you're going to reap what you sow. There's no respect of person. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. When you do right, it doesn't matter who you are. Amen. You're going to reap of that righteousness. Because he said, verse 11, for there is no respect of person with God. I mean, the Bible, I got a few scriptures here, just a few of them about there's no respect of person with God. And yet I still hear some people say that God loves somebody better than love me. That's a lie. And he said, Revelation 21:8, that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire. So when we're feeling sad for ourselves, we better watch what we say. Amen. Because God loves us all the same. He gives us all the same opportunities. Some people say, well, I just haven't had the opportunities in life. Oh, yes, you have. It's just we blew a lot of them. Amen. How many can get a witness to that? We blew a lot of them. Just preach a Sunday morning. Amen. And Sunday night. Glory to God. Galatians 3:27, he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Here's what gets me is these churches, these preachers that come along and say, well, the woman shouldn't be teaching in church and preaching. You know why? Because they can out-preach you is why you don't want them to preach. In Christ Jesus, look, if I was in a house and it was on fire and burning down, I don't care if it's a man or a woman hollering, telling me, get out of that house, it's on fire. That's all a preacher is. Get out of that life. You're on fire. You're headed to hell. Amen. He says, God doesn't look in, he doesn't look. He said, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. He's no respecter of persons. That means from male to female. You say, Brother David, the Bible there gives the man head over the house. He's talking about marriage. He ain't talking about in the church. He's not talking about in the works of God. You can only have one head in a house. And that's why the man, because of Eve in the garden. Come on now. But if you read close enough, you know, these guys that always saying, well, the wife ought to be in subjection to their husband. Well, I agree with that. But you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But if you read up a little before that, it says for you to submit one to another. See, they pick them old scriptures out and hang with them. And no, you better read it all before they hang you. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? Promise of Abraham they had over there. You ought to read it. Ooh, wow. 1 Timothy 1:15, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners, of whom I am chief. What's he saying there? Paul is saying, if I can be saved, anybody can be saved. That's what he's saying. When he says, of whom I am chief, he said, if I can be saved, everybody can be saved. He said, because I'm chief of them all. I was the worst one. And if I can be saved, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and if I could be saved, anybody can be saved. Amen? That's what he says. How many believes what Paul is saying here? You believe Paul? Amen? I believe him. He's a good man. Amen? Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whew. It's no respect of person. I mean, if you know, somebody couldn't be saved, then God would be a respect of person. And all the scriptures I've read so far tonight would be a lie. Would it not? It would be a lie. And then God wouldn't be justified in telling us not to be partial and to show respect to a person if he did it. Amen? I mean, God could not judge us in this life except Jesus laid aside his glory in heaven and came down to this earth. And he said in Hebrews in the 4th chapter that he was in all points tempted like me and you, yet without sin. He came down to this world and he walked through this world and he proved that it could be done without sin. And so therefore people come along today and say, you can't live without sin. You need to follow Jesus. That's your problem. You're not following him. He walked through this life without sin. He proved it can be done. And my friend, when we stand before him and try to tell him it can't be done, Jesus said, I came down there. I laid my glory aside. I came down and I walked on that earth and I proved that you can walk without sin. Therefore, he can judge us because he's been there and done that. Amen. Oh, sin a little bit every day, bunch. They ought to close the door down. Hammer nails on it. Amen. Glory to God. Don't get me off that. That's a different message. Let me get back here. Hallelujah. John 3:14, he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know, when it was out there in Numbers when the serpents was biting them and they was dying. And the Lord told Moses to put a brazen serpent upon the pole. You notice the symbol of medicine? Healing. But he said, as many as looked upon it did not die from the bite of the serpent. As many, now those that didn't look, now they died. But as many as it looked upon it. God's no respect to person. You got to look on it. Amen. God don't send nobody to hell. They go because they never accept Jesus Christ. You don't go to hell because of all the drugs you're doing. And you don't go to hell because you cuss all the time. And you don't go to hell because you do adultery or murder or anything. You go to hell because you've not accepted Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen. He said, "What, brother? If I can get saved, I can accept Jesus. Go do all the drugs you want to." Yes, sir, you can. The thing about it, you'll be changed creature. You won't want to do them no more. Huh? Come on, I still dance, but the music's been changed. I still drink, but I'm drinking from a different fountain. Amen? Come on. Woo! Oh, those things I used to think was important ain't important no more. Amen? I got a renewed mind. I think different now. Amen? I think different. Hallelujah. Don't you, Brother Felder? I think different. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see some people in the church and they still want to do all those things. They ain't saved. They ain't never got a renewed mind. Come on. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. He said, "You either for me or against me. Ain't no in between." Amen. He says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man." See, it was a picture of Christ. When Moses held it as a picture of Christ, kept people from dying. Christ prevents us from dying. He gives us everlasting life. Amen. And it says, verse 15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. What does that "whosoever" mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means all. It means any. It means every. It means the whole. It means he. It means she. It means it, and so forth. Amen. It also means as many as. Amen. That's why he said in John 1 and 11, he came to his own, but his own received him not. Talking about the Jew. But verse 12 says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe upon his name." Yeah. Well, I'm glad I believe on him. I'm glad I'm part of that. As many as. As many as. Whosoever. That word, "whosoever," also, if you look it up in the Greek, the word is pronounced like this. Ho. H-O. And it reminds me of a scripture over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter in verse 1, where he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Whosoever. Oh, I gotta have a knowledge. No, you don't have the knowledge of the Bible. You don't have to have money. You don't have to. Just come as you are. Hallelujah. Just come. Glory to God. No respect of person. How many was theologians when you got saved in here? Was there any theologians in here? None. How many was ignorant and unlearned in the things of God when you got saved? Look here. Praise God. Look. My hand was up too. I was brought up in church. And my hand's still up. I told y'all before when I got saved, I said, you know, I just, every time preacher would get up and talk about Paul, the apostle Paul, what a man. I just, who is this Paul fella? You know? And then I heard somebody say, well, you know, Paul took Judas's place. And I read the book of Acts. And I said, right there in the first chapter, it tells you plain that Matthias took his place. Ignorance. You know, I just touched on it Sunday night, didn't I? They was out of order there. But after I got to reading about Paul, I'm telling you, if I could just be that much from here to the moon of what the Apostle Paul was upon this earth, what a man, what a man. Wow. What a man. After I got to reading about the man, I fell in love with him.
Amen. What a man of God. What a man of God. That's what God wants me and you to be. Great men and women of God. I told you last Wednesday night, there's a man of God in every one of us. There's a man of God in every one of us. God wants to get it out of us. Raise that giant up that's in us. Amen. You ever heard people talking about God's will? I mean, I've even had people be sick and say, well, I want to be healed if it's God's will. You don't ever read the book. I got an email late last night from my niece and her dad, my brother-in-law. He had pancreatic cancer and he'd gone through some surgery and treatments and all this kind of stuff. And last scans he had, it was nothing. They could find nothing, you know. And he just standing on, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed, you know. And it's been going on for, you know, a couple of years like that, you know, and been doing good. And she sent an email and said that he'd gone and they had checked his liver and his gallbladder, and it's perfect and healthy and everything's doing good. And they did a scan on his lungs and they found some spots on his lungs. And the doctor wants to set up with a biopsy. And she said the doctor seems to think that it's cancer that's in his lungs. And so as soon as I heard that, the scripture came to me there in 1 Peter 2:24. And so I called him this afternoon and I told him, I says, now, what I want you to do, I want you to go in there and get your Bible when we hang up. And I want you to flip it over to 1 Peter 2:24. He says, by his own self, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead in sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I said, I want you to go in. He said, I know it's in there. I said, no, I want you to go in there and I want you to open that Bible and I want you to read. I want you to look down there and say, yep, it's still there. I'm still healed. It's still there. I'm still healed because it's still in the book. It's still in the book right there. I'm still healed. I'm still, because it said, by his stripes, I was healed. I'm still healed. It's still in the book. Hadn't been changed. It's still there. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we got to do. It's still in the book. Somebody come along and say, you're not healed. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's what you say now. Now what did God's word? Flip over to 1 Peter 2:24. Brother, see, make sure there's some. Maybe it's gone in this last day. 1 Peter 2:24. Y'all look. Y'all still see it in y'all's book? Praise God, it's still there. It's right there, it is. I'm still healed because it's still in the book. I'm still healed. Amen. Well, what about what the doctor said? Well, you flip over in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and said, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. I mean, the word, you put the word instead of the word. We got to get the word in us, man. We got so much word in us now, we can save the world. You get to talking to people. You think it's just some little talk, but to them, they in dry ground. And just, you could have a little bit of water, and boy, it's precious to them. See, we're spoiling here. We hear good Sunday school teaching and good preaching and good singing and good music, and we're spoiled and we hear it and we just got to go to sleep on it. But you go out there where people's really thirsty and hungry for the Word of God, and you just kind of just sprinkle a little water and they soak it up like dry ground. Try it sometimes. Just try it. Amen. It'll work. Don't you love Him? What is God's will? What is God's will? 2 Peter 3:9, he said, God's will. This is God's will. In fact, what is this? This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. Amen? A testament is a will. Testament. New Testament. It's a will. And this is God's will. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffered to usward, not willing that, say it, any should perish. Why? Because he's no respecter person. That any, not willing, his will is that no one perish, but that all should come to repentance.
That's God's will. If you want to know God's will, that's His will.
Amen.
1 Peter 2 and 1. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry. 2 and 1. I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for who?
All
men. Well, what if son ain't supposed to get saved? He said for all men. Because it's God's will that all be saved. Is it not? Not some, but all be saved. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men saved, to be saved, all men to be saved. His will is for all men to be saved and to come unto knowledge of the truth. That is the will of God. Amen. It said in Titus 2:11, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto or to all men. In other words, it has appeared to all men. But it's up to man to accept it. Amen. If God just appeared to some and not others, he would be a respecter person, would he not? So it's God's obligation to make all men aware that they need to be saved. Amen.
He said, well, Brother David, what about somebody way over in third world country and they're on a remote island and nobody's around? Then you read Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. I mean, all you got to do is look around and know there's a God. I mean, these educated politicians. You know, I saw somebody it was one of the shows, Hannity, last night. Not for last, one of the nights, I don't know. And as a politician, believe it or not, he was right. And Reverend Al Sharpton was the other one opposing him. They ask him, Al Sharpton, when do you think life begins? He wouldn't answer it. He wouldn't answer it. A so-called preacher wouldn't answer it. He said, all biologists and all scientists agree, the politician said, they agree that life begins at conception. And that's when it begins, friend, at conception. Said they all agree. Al Sharpton said, yeah, but the courts is for the rights of the person. And I'm not going to stand in the way of the rights of the person. What about the rights of that baby? Come on, preacher, man. I mean, won't people just stand up and say, you're not a preacher?
I don't know. I didn't hear that one, Kathy, but I don't know what you said, but I don't know.
We do have to love him, though, but we need to love that hell out of him because he's full of it. The Reverend was on there debating because he said something about President Obama. The politician said him being a black man of all people should understand the rights of the unborn. What he's saying there is the courts say that they're not a human. Well, did you know back years ago in our country that black people was not a whole human? And that's what he was talking about. Him of all people. To know how it would be feel if to be looked on is less than a man.
less than a human. That's what he's trying to say, but this Al Sharpton's trying, oh, it's a race thing. It's a, no, it's not. It's not right to look on any person as less than another. It's not right. Glory to God. They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. You might talk to somebody sometime and say, well, I don't know anything about God, so I don't know if there's a God. I say, you're without excuse. When you stand before him, you're without excuse. Say, look at that sun up in the sky. You think that just happened all of a sudden? Yeah, it was a big boom. Yeah, really. Come on. Look at the thing, how it has been burning all these years. And it's still there. Look, you know, I showed you all the sizes of the planets and all that. I mean, it blows your mind on it. When you begin to look. David says, when I considered the heavens and the stars and creation, he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? As little and finite as we are, that a God of a creator of such magnitude would be mindful of me and you. Who are we? He looked down and he saw his image and he drew it out and he got down and he put his breath into that man. We have the breath of God in us. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. That's why we go. We're supposed to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Whosoever. Go out and compel them to come in. Not eeny, meeny, mighty, more. Not look at this one and where he looks like he ought to be saved. And this one, no, he shouldn't be saved. No, no, no. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen. You got to understand, hell was never designed for man. How many knows that? Hell was never designed for man. You got Bible for that? I wouldn't have told you if I didn't. When I'm standing here, I tell you something. I got scriptures to back up what I say. Let me just give you this one here. Matthew 25:41. Then he shall say also to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for man. He said, well, Brother David, if it wasn't prepared for man and there's many people going to hell, you know, it's going to get kind of crowded in there. Oh, you got to know your Bible. Isaiah 5:13 reads kind of like this. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Verse 14, therefore, hell hath what? Enlarged herself. It wasn't God's will for man to go there, but because man has chose to go opposite of God and go with Satan, hell has to take and make a bigger place for him. Sad, isn't it? It's not God's will that not one person go. That rich man in Luke 16, it wasn't God's will he go to hell. So next time you see somebody that's lost, it's not God's will for them to be lost. It's God's will that we take and get them saved. And it's our job, our purpose. Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, you got a job cut out for you. Amen. How many agrees with me tonight? Amen. There's many other scriptures. Many other things. Enough said. Amen. Come on, stand our feet.